Welcome to worship. Whether you're here in person physically or here virtually, you're all are welcome, of course. The presence of the Lord and His glory. No one can look upon the Lord and live, it tells us. And He lives in inapproachable light. I mean, His glory is something that's so overwhelming. If we just get a little sliver, just a little glimpse of it, it changes us, like it did Moses when he got a chance to experience some of the glory of the Lord, and he came back down, and his face was shining so bright he had to wear a veil so he didn't scare the people. They were in fear. So may we be filled with the Spirit today. May we just catch a little glimpse of God's glory, because we can't handle it all. We'll start with the readings.
Our first reading comes to us from Psalms 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Our second reading is from Revelations 5, 11 through 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and ten thousands times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. So ends our readings.
For the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. After Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your presence here among us, Lord. Your glory and your power. May it change us as we encounter you here today through your word. Amen. The glory of God. Again, I can't show it to you because it's too much. We can't handle it. He's that holy, he's that good. It describes it throughout the Bible, like I said earlier, with living in an inapproachable light, that no one can look upon him and live. He's just that glorious. It's crazy. And we get just little glimpses here in the readings today. Starting out with Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That is something that can be just sort of overwhelming. We get to see little bits of it here on earth with things like a sunset. You got here a sunset over Lake Minnewaska. When you see that, you're experiencing it. It's moving. I look at that, you know, in real life when I'm experiencing it, I just say, "Wow, God, wow." And I just stand there a little bit longer. Maybe I got things to do, but I'm just going to take that moment. And seeing it in two dimensions like that, it's great. It's a nice picture. But does it come even close to experiencing it? No. There's something special when we're surrounded by something, when we're experiencing it. It's speaking to us, within us. And words are inadequate. They just can't do it justice. And that's partially why we have things like music and art, to say things that words can't. You maybe are moved by a piece of music sometimes. It just awakens something in you. I know teenagers are moved by music a lot, right? You're always listening to certain songs because they lift you up and they fill you and they do things. And God's music, even more so. So the words just aren't inadequate. And the two dimensions, not enough to experience it. When something has sights and it has sounds, this doesn't have the sounds and the smells and things like that, but when you have the multi-sensory engagement, it just adds something special to it. And here we're seeing some beautiful colors. But in science, with the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, light is electromagnetic radiation is what it is, okay? It's sort of a complex thing. If I want to get into mathematically, I'll save you that part. But we can only see a narrow band of light. If we go down below red, we can get to the infrared, and then the microwaves, and then the radio waves. So radio waves, when you're listening to radio, those are like light moving through the air, but it's too low for us to see. Just like some sounds are too low for us to hear. They're in the infrasonic. Whales make sounds that we cannot hear because they're too low for us to hear. Earthquake waves, same deal. As we go above what we can see, above violet, and because we can see just that small part, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Above that, we get into the ultraviolet. We can't see it, but that's what's giving you a suntan. That's the energy from the sun doing that. And then we can get up into the X-ray part of the spectrum. Highly energetic, penetrating through the flesh and things like that, and then gamma radiation finally. So we're confined to this. But does that have other colors that we can't see and appreciate? Yes. The sun is giving off UV. It's giving off infrared that we can feel as the heat waves. So we can't fully even see it. We're just given a little glimpse of it. We can't see the whole works. Similarly, sounds, ultrasonic, too high for us to hear. They're out there, but we can't hear it. So there are colors that we can't even see. And when you read accounts of people that have died and come back to life, Heaven is for Real and some books like that, which are wonderful. Read them, watch the movies. This little kid went and experienced God and came back to life. And he was talking about sounds and smells and sights that were beyond anything he had encountered on earth. And just to imagine that, how much more there is. We get a little glimpse of God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, as we see here. We get that little glimpse, but there's so much more waiting in store for us. And I can't wait to experience it. Another one, the James Webb Space Telescope that we launched this last year. And now we're getting the first images back. This is a deep field view looking out into space. Okay, it looks impressive. Looks like a lot of stars. They're not stars. Those are galaxies. Each point of light is billions of stars. Our Milky Way galaxy alone has over 100 billion stars. 100 billion. Okay, try to imagine that. That's a lot of stars. That's our galaxy. We're just in one little backwater of the universe, and we're in one little remote part of this galaxy in the back part of the universe. And we're one little planet and this one little star among hundreds of billions in one little remote part. Okay, so each of those is billions of stars, each possibly having planets around it, perhaps even some having life. You know, why not? God could have created life here. Let's make some over here. Let's just bury it and put some over here. Maybe someday they'll meet or something. He's a creator. He takes joy in creating. Why not? There could be other life forms out there. We don't know, but entirely possible. I don't see why not. So look at that and to start thinking that. Now that's just in one direction. Stars also going out that way? Yeah, and that way, and that way, and that way, and every way, spherically, mind-blowing. That's one direction. God's glory. Again, we're getting a little glimpse, but there's so much more. It surrounds us. The heavens surround us. These galaxies surround us. We didn't even know they were all there until we had this technology. Without telescopes, we can see parts of the Milky Way and maybe one or two other galaxies if we're lucky, just little glimpses. Now we can see deeper. Another cool thing of this is that we're seeing back in time. With the James telescope, Webb telescope, I go in infrared shifts. I'm not going to do that right now, but we could do the math, believe me. We're able to see things as the universe expands. If something is coming towards you, the light is more purple than normal. It's called a Doppler shift. And if something's going away from you, it's shifted more to the red. So the normal white light given off here, we see a lot of them are sort of reddish because they're retreating away from us, and the farther away they are, the more it's shifted, it turns out. Some of these are millions of light years. So we are looking at retreating galaxies as the universe expands, creation's still happening in a way, and we're also looking back in time. If one of these stars in our galaxy, a star was, say, 2,000 light years away, when we see that star at night, you're seeing a photon, a little bit of light that left that star 2,000 years ago. It's been traveling through space for 2,000 years since the time of Christ. You just happen to look up and it hits your retina. You should almost be honored to see that. It's, again, mind-blowing. These are millions of light years away. So say you got some galaxy or stars 5 million light years away. That light has been traveling through space for 5 million years. You're seeing it as it was 5 million years ago. Again, mind-blowing. So we're looking back in time is what we're doing as well. Wow. We can't look back to the time of creation, but we're looking back a little bit further. And again, we're seeing the galaxy still expanding, creation still happening. And again, it's mind-blowing. As a scientist, I'm just sort of go, wow, wow. A lot of people think that science and God are two separate things. But the more I learn about science, the more I appreciate what God has created. When we look back in time like this and we see the work of his hands, we are in awe. A word that I try to reserve for God, awe or awesome. Because it should just be an overwhelming, overpowering type experience when you are in total awe. Again, a sunset, just a little glimpse. The James Webb Space Telescope, just a little glimpse. From the big, then, we can also look at the small. We can go down beyond what we can normally see. And that's what we have here. This is an image made with a scanning electron microscope. Again, to me, it speaks of the glory of God, what he is capable of. You see a beautiful symmetry. There's an order. It's not random chance, okay? Life, everything on Earth, not random chance. There is an order and a design on the largest scale when we go through the universe and also on the extremely small scale. Those of you from Bible study already know what this is, but any guesses from anybody else? All right, it's really small. And you've seen these things. Of course, you haven't seen that part of it because they're so small. This is the compound eye or the eyeball of a fruit fly. Think of how small a fruit fly is. They're tiny, but yet they can fly around. They've got energy and all this stuff, and their eyes have to be tinier yet. I mean, really, really small. But you can see the compound eye here and the guard hairs and things like that. And the beautiful symmetry that God has created, even in a fruit fly, which is so small it's hard to see, and the eyeball, which is smaller yet, has this beautiful design to it. Again, not random chance. As that thing takes in spoiled bananas and things like that, it's using those nutrients to build its eyeballs in this ordered manner that, again, to me is just mind-blowing. That God has created them in that way. Wow. So again, as I explore science, I see more evidence of creation and evidence of the Creator, that there is an order in everything. And I'm not the only one to experience this. For those that can't read it, it says, everyone who is seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we, with our modest powers, must feel humble. So when we see these things, the universe or the extremely small, we are humbled, and we have that sense of awe. You want to get down smaller than that fruit fly. As a chemistry teacher, I teach about atoms and molecules that we can't see and we'll never be able to see because they are too small to see with visible light. The way we study them is with math because there are mathematical patterns. There's a mathematical design and it works. Again, not random chance. It's mathematical. So every atom in you and in this room has certain ratios of particles that work together perfectly to create it. And again, I am in awe of what God has created. Pretty crazy stuff. So this speaks. All of creation speaks then. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, it says in the psalm. And this is back in David's time when he's writing this. It's still true today, right? The skies pour forth that speech. Night after night, they display the knowledge. The heavens display his knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. They're not speaking audibly. We don't hear the stars. We don't hear the eyeballs of the fruit flies, but they speak to us. And their voice goes out into all the world. There's no excuse for not believing in God when you look at creation. You take any culture, some isolated culture that's been on this island in some ocean for millennia or whatever, has not had contact with the outside world. Do they have a system of beliefs? Do they acknowledge a creator? Absolutely. Because all of creation testifies to his existence. And as we get scientific tools, we see even more that all of creation testifies to his existence. And we start to see the miracle and the way things work together. The lyrics of Big Daddy Weave, I see the work of your hands, the galaxy spinning a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. That song, I just love it, and it speaks to me like that. And it is overwhelming. God's glory, the design, this order, and everything that he's created, again, speaking to his glory. And we're, like Romans says, we're without excuse as far as believing, because all of creation testifies to the existence of God and pours forth his glory. Again, just a small amount. We can't handle all the glory of God. His glory, his power, and his might. And they are intertwined, the glory and the power. To you be the glory and the power, right? Forever and ever. The glory and the power, they work together. So God has unlimited power, and he has this unlimited glory that, you know, what is the glory of God? Well, we think of it as light or something like that, but it's more than that. It's the praise, it's the worship, it's the majesty, it's the splendor, all these things together, creating this thing that we call the glory of God. Again, that we can't see, but sometimes you can experience. And when you experience his glory, it leaves you changed. You're not the same afterwards. It'll fade away for a little while, sort of like Moses encountering God, and then slowly the glow faded away from his face. But you experience him again and again in different ways. And this power, again, changes you. The power was seen in Revelation today as we read through that. Here we have John experiencing what's in the throne of around the throne of God. He's been transported in this vision. In this section, we have the scroll that no one can open, and finally the Lamb does, and everybody's just in awe. And as Gwen read, he heard the voice of many angels. You think of angels singing. That has to be incredible. Someday we get to sing along with them. And I am one that believes that as we worship here, angels are surrounding us and worshiping with us too. Absolutely. There's angels all around us we can't see. The Bible tells us that. They are messengers. They are worshipers. They are warriors. They have all these missions to fulfill. And Hebrews tells us that sometimes we encounter angels without even realizing it, because they can appear in human form. It's in the Bible. You don't believe that? Well, you take it up with God, okay? It's right here. So anyway, these angels singing, and the voices of an angel. We say someone sings like an angel, but that's, again, just a little glimpse compared to what it would really sound like. Here we have thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Okay, 10 to the fourth times. 10 to the fourth is 10 to the eighth, hundreds of millions. Hundreds of millions of angels singing around the throne. Talk about overwhelming. That has to be. They encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they sang praises to God, right? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Again, the word glory, receiving glory from us. Try and imagine this. Again, it's crazy. And then it gets better yet. Okay, verse 13. Then I heard every creature on earth and on heaven. And creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. Okay, now we got all of creation singing his praises. And when I think of that, I think of a big mooing and an oinking and a quacking and a screeching and a howling and a, just all together in harmony, this cacophony of harmony, all of creation declaring the glory of God. It tells us elsewhere in the Bible that the rivers will clap their hands and the mountains will sing praise. If these people did not cry out, the rocks themselves would cry out. So even inanimate objects crying out the praise of God. I mean, wow. Wow. It's like when little kids sing, you go to those music programs, right, the elementary, and when they're singing, when they're really into it, are they singing with more than their voice? They're singing with their whole being, right? And this is everybody before God, the believers and the angels and all of creation, just singing his praises. Again, something that we should be in awe of. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The Psalms, there's many Psalms that are Psalms of praise, but the last verse of the last Psalm, 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, that's what it's talking about here as well. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's how the Psalms end right there. Beautiful. Okay, angels also in Luke chapter 2, every Christmas you read the story, right? The angels appear to the shepherds and they say, what to God in the highest? Glory. Glory, again, glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. So again, angels singing glory, proclaiming glory. Romans 6 tells us that Christ was raised by the glory of God. So glory and power, again, intertwined by the glory of God through the Holy Spirit and by his power, Jesus was raised from the dead. So God's glory, again, so much more. There's human glory, of course. We see that throughout history. We have political leaders and kings and things that seek glory for themselves. They seek to build themselves up. Glory and power, again, intertwined, and a lot of these leaders want to have that glory. But human glory, no, that pales in comparison to the God's glory. All right. Human glory is sort of blah, it's sort of bland, like, you know, rice. Okay, it's nutritious and it's good. But it doesn't compare to God's glory. If we were to add some whipped cream, some marshmallows, some pineapple, and some cherry, right? Now we have glorified rice, right? We got the glory. So God's glory compared to human glory, much bigger, much better, much tastier in this case, and it's something special. God's glory, something really special. So this glory of God, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the angels praising, it comes from us praising, it comes from all of creation praising. But this glory was there at the beginning. And that's what we see in the gospel today. When Jesus is saying these five verses here in John 17, it ends with, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Before the world began. We have Jesus and the Father sharing glory. When Jesus became human, set aside his glory so he could be human, so he could relate to you and to me, to all of us. When we go through something, we're saying, God, I don't know if I can do this. He said, I've been human. I've experienced that. You can do this by my power. There's nothing that we can't get through with the power of God. We try to do it on our own power or on our own glory. It's not, you can get through stuff. It's going to be tough. When you can draw on this reserve of power that God holds out for us and makes available to us, we can get through things that would normally be overwhelming and come through it just fine. Yeah, there's troubles, there's trials, there's tribulations in this life, absolutely. But as Christians, we are not walking alone. Jesus himself has experienced this, and he walks beside us every step of the way, and sometimes carrying us if you want to go into the footprint story, right? Absolutely. Thank God for that. So in John here, he's spending that again that last evening with his disciples. He's sharing the special stuff. Again, if you know that your time has come, you're speaking to those that matter to you. You're going to share just the important things. And he's saying, Father, the time has come here. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So he's asking God to glorify him so that he can glorify God. Again, the two intertwined. And then the Holy Spirit moving through it all, of course, too. For you have granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. So Jesus had been empowered with this authority to grant eternal life and also to withhold it. He's the judge. We're not. And that's something that ought to be humbling to think about. Now, this eternal life is that they may know you, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, to really know God. And eternal life, then, is to spend eternity with him, knowing him, getting to know him better, and worshiping along with the angels. And I can't wait. This is going to be something cool. And this is the promise that he holds forth. Verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So Jesus bringing glory to God through the way he lives. Now, he had set aside his own personal glory, and he's going to take that back up again. He's going to reclaim that glory when he comes again in glory. There's going to be the trumpets, and the sky's going to open up, and he's going to be there. It's going to happen. Maybe we get to experience it while we're still alive, or maybe we're called back to live it with him. We don't know yet. We don't know the day nor the hour. But in the meantime, we have the opportunity to glorify him. Not only by what we say, but there's something that speaks louder than words. Actions. The way we live our lives, our words and our actions should glorify God. Our interactions with other people should glorify God. Remember, we're ambassadors of Christ. We represent him to the world around us. And ambassadors are also given a small measure of power to act on behalf of the one they represent. So we then, through our lives, should be glorifying God. Everything we do should hopefully point to him. When we do something good for others, we don't do it to build ourselves up. No. We do it to glorify God. He is worthy of the glory. We are not. So with your whole lives, may you glorify God. May you live out what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. May your whole life point to him. May you bring his glory to those around you. May we represent him faithfully as we seek to bring others to him in this community and around the world. To God be the glory. Amen.